Thank you for joining us on episode 2 of John Rossi, the podcast. I'm your host, JR, and today we're going to discuss Hungry Ghost. A hungry ghost is a Buddhist term. The definition is a person who has gone through tragic loss or pain, and because of that, have a desperate longing for connection and spend their time seeking balance. There's three things that I look for in my everyday life. It's a kind of a mantra or a mission. I don't know which one, but the three things that I try to do on a daily basis is educate, elevate, and evolve. I think I told you guys previously that I always travel with a notebook, or I'm always jotting down things in my notes on my phone. And one of the things that I found one day was this term, hungry ghost. So as soon as I got home from work, I looked it up. And essentially, after I read that definition, I knew that it applied to me and what I've gone through in my life. There's an image that, if you look it up online, there's an image that shows this, I don't know, maybe kind of humanish and half human, half monsterish looking image of this thing, creature, being, whatever word you want to use. But they have like a distended stomach. Their neck looks long and very narrow. And they kind of look, to me, the image looks very ravenous in the face, like hungry to the point of almost insanity, which I can really relate to that image. But the thing that was fascinating about it was I thought about it for a long time. I wrote the definition down in this little notebook that I carry with me. And every so often, every couple of days or whatever, I'd open it up and read the definition. And I got to a point where I realized that from a survivor perspective, I think it's what all of us go through. And it's something that made me want to research it even further. So in my research, I found this doctor. Her name is Nadine Burke Harris, and I found it on a TED Talk. And she has a TED Talk called How Childhood Trauma Affects Health. When I tell you that I've watched this episode over and over and over, I honestly can say I've watched it at least 10 to 15 times because it's so fascinating to me. So that's what I'd like to bring to you guys today. My personal opinion is all of us have some form of a hungry ghost inside of us. And the best way to satiate that hungry ghost is to be aware of it and to figure out maybe creative ways of dealing with the hunger of that ghost, or maybe personal wellness tips. I'm sure it's going to be different for everyone, but the first step is just identifying that the hungry ghost is there and then formulating a plan to keep the ghost satiated. So for many years now, I've figured out that my way of dealing with conflict or working problems out has come through painting, writing, making jewelry, just kind of pushing myself as far as I can in my creative endeavors, especially painting, because I feel that it gives me a moment to sit silent in whatever it is that I'm dealing with, and taking that energy on the inside of me and putting it on the canvas. There's a term that artists use in the creative community, and it's called dancing with the canvas. And for many years, when I first started painting, my mission was to learn how to dance with the canvas. And one night I was in my studio, it was really late, and I just got into this magical space that within a 30-minute period, I'd created what I thought was just this magical piece of artistry. And once I stood back and looked at it, I knew that that was the moment that I had just completely connected with that canvas and danced with it. And I think someplace, somewhere in my house or somewhere packed away, is a little note that I wrote to myself about the date that this happened. So, okay, back to this recognizing the hungry ghost and figuring out how to satiate it. For me, in the definition of hungry ghosts, there's two things that they said they look for, connections and balance. And I'd like to start with balance. To me, what I've experienced in my life, I think that there's always been a constant struggle for relationship and alone time. It's something that trauma victims fight with a lot, because we do want relationships in our lives, friendships, lovers, husbands, wives, but we also desperately have a need to be alone, sometimes more often than to be together with someone. So it's a constant struggle to find an appropriate balance, but it is possible. Another place where I see the balance issue that would come into play is work time versus downtime. I'm sure that's self-explanatory, but I do see that a lot of trauma victims will constantly want to be in motion. There's no task that's too big for them, because work means that you don't have to have idle time to sit around and despair about whatever it is that you're disparaging. And then I think overindulgence versus what we need in a daily basis, it could be food related, it could be shopping, it applies in a lot of different ways. So I do think that the balance issue is something that I can recognize in a lot of trauma victims. And then on the connection side, I think that because of this longing to be loved and appreciated, acknowledged, seen, heard, we usually try a lot harder as far as family relationships, friendships. We seek acceptance and connection through, you know, sex. We try to, you know, create the most beautiful looks. We want to be as fit as we can possibly be, and, you know, the whitest teeth, and, you know, the best makeup, the best wardrobe. It's just amazing to me the extremes that we can go to find connection outside of ourselves. But what we should focus on is finding that connection within ourselves. It took me a long time to get to this place that I didn't have my feelings hurt when someone rejected me, or I tried to build a friendship with someone and got to a point where I felt like I was putting more energy and effort into a friendship than someone was putting in me. And what I would normally do is be hurt and disappointed and upset. But I finally got to a place that I realized that the friend that I needed was myself. That was very important for me. And the other thing that I got to as far as connections were concerned was, as weird as it sounds, I lowered my expectations of what I was expecting out of other people. I have lived my life always wanting to be the best example of a friend, a lover, a confidant, a co-worker. I mean, you name it, Whatever that title was, I wanted to go above and beyond and being the best that I could be for somebody else, because that's exactly what I wanted in return. And honestly, just in this last year has that revelation come to me that in order for me to not be so disappointed in people, I had to lower my expectations. And to me, lowering my expectations, it kind of hurts my feelings in a way, because I think, why should I have to lower my expectations of just wanting someone to treat me with respect and treat me with regard? But oddly enough, the more I've thought about it, it's just like, but it makes life so much easier if I don't expect to get everything that I put out to people. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. If I don't expect anything from you, then I really can't be disappointed. So that in itself has been a lifesaver for me. I guess on the tail end of this, the best thing that I could do is just encourage anyone out there that's listening to this that relates to it. All I can do is say, please identify that ghost is living right there inside of you, and that the hunger that is felt is something that you can satiate by just acknowledging that it's there, and to work on yourself. Just don't look for it on the outside. Look for it on the inside. Start with yourself. And then when you feel that you've gotten to that place that you've completely, you know, taken care of your needs, then you find that the ghost is not as hungry as we think it is. I'm JR. This is John Rossi, the podcast. And hopefully this has been a story that will inspire a better life.